Our country's political landscape is polarized to the point that we rarely hear each other. Larry Sharp has traveled the country and has personally visited every county in New York State, listening to people's concerns. The Sharp Way is a show where answers, solutions, and common ground can be found so that together we can forge a new way forward. The Sharp Way is the way to mutual respect, where no one has to convert to be heard, because you can be as liberal or as conservative as you want, as long as you aren't forcing your beliefs on others. Welcome to Sharp Way Radio.
Larry Sharp, so happy to have you with me this afternoon. Sharp Way Radio, WYSL, Rochester, New York. You can, if you want, give me a call after the first break. 585-346-3000. You know, almost every week I come on and I tell you about something that is hurting the average New Yorker somehow get better. And I think about my time as a kid growing up in the Bronx. And how in the world did I move ahead? And I often will tell you a story about when I was a kid or something like that. And many of you who listen, whether you grew up in New York City or any city, you can often connect, understand kind of why I think what I think or what happened. I get it. When I was a kid in the Bronx with my mom and my dad, we tried to get out of the Bronx. Now, not initially, to be forward. My dad initially was happy living in that area, was happy living there. That's what he had known. He knew the Brooklyn, but he knew bad neighborhoods in the Brooklyn, and he knew bad neighborhoods in Manhattan, and he knew bad neighborhoods in the Bronx, and it was a bad neighborhood. And he was kind of okay with it. My mom wasn't. And eventually she said, we got to do something about this. And eventually he agreed. So how? How does two people without college degrees, my mom not even a high school graduate, how do two people who don't have entrepreneurial spirit in their background, who don't have mothers and fathers to teach them how to do something like that, who don't have crazy, insane, you know, skills to build something, how could they get ahead? Well, I think in general, they looked around. What'd they see in the 1970s in the Bronx, South Bronx, where I grew up? They saw a lot of entrepreneurial spirit. Seriously, they saw a lot of opportunity. My father loved music, loved disco back in the 70s. Donna Summer and the Bee Gees, Earth, Wind, and Fire. Loved that stuff. Disco and R&B, loved it. We'd buy albums, records, for those of you who are a bit younger. That's how we used to listen to music. So yes, he'd buy those. So he decided to become a DJ. Seriously, run DJs, the whole deal, and would go on weekends and be in clubs, and my mom would go with him. They'd go together and go, and I was a latchkey kid, so I was a little kid, and I'd be at home by myself, because that's how it was back then. So I'd be away, and they'd do their thing, and they'd come home late at night. I'd wake up and go see my parents, you know, early in the morning, and whatever, move on. So we did. And my mom decided, well, I know how to clean. So she would clean offices and clean houses on the weekends for extra money too and bring me along. Child labor, but that's what we did. I was scrubbing windows and washing stuff down and throwing stuff out like 8, 9 years old. I was, yes. But that's how we got out. That's how we were able to eventually, when I was a teenager, leave and go out to Long Island, which for us was a massive upgrade at the time. And we thought we're moving on up. We were Jeffersons. We're moving on up. Thought we were all good. Can that happen now? Sadly, I think not. I mean, I'm exaggerating. Can it happen? Of course. And it still does happen. I don't want to say that it cannot happen. I want to say the odds are against us. The odds are against the average American, the average New Yorker particularly. And here's the funny part. Everything they've put into place has been put into place to help. Well, in theory, has been put into place to help, right? I'm putting this rule, all this law, all this regulation in place because I care about the safety of the people around you. Well, what about their economic safety? What about their mental safety? What about the ability to feel like you can grow and be better? How about that safety? Is that something? Does that matter? Sadly, no. And I think we see that right now. We can look at the future. And what do we see in the future? Well, right now, our future could be China. Yeah. There is a very special thing happening in China right now. Some of you may know. Actually, there are many special things happening in China. I will speak of one of those special things. And one of those special things is what's happening with the young entrepreneurs. Sorry, that's the wrong answer. Younger workers, not entrepreneurs, workers. People in their late 20s, early 30s, who are either losing their jobs or feeling unfulfilled or whatever the case may be. Their economy is starting to have problems there too. What? Yes, they are. So now there are a whole lot of men in China deciding that they want to be delivery people. Happening here already. You see a lot of that here in New York City, New York State, a lot of people in delivery. And I remember if I go back a couple of years, I knew a couple of guys who were making a good living being delivery guys. Making a good living, paying their bills, happy being delivery guys. Now I feel like so many of the people are moving towards that lifestyle, which was not a thing. Well, it was a thing, but not a big deal. Now it's a big thing in China. Men are doing this. Well, they're doing this so often, and they're not even trying to find women. One reason why they're not finding women is they don't have enough money. They're not trying to find women. So how do they deal with the women issue? They're watching these creators online. So what are women doing when they lose their jobs in China? Becoming content creators. Yes, they're literally doing it. So the content creators are making content so the men can watch, and then the men watch, and then they make money to pay the content creators to deliver food. Well, who are they deliver food to? The content creators who are in their apartments. It's a circle, except it's a circle of one important thing. It's a circle with very little actual productivity. What are they creating besides just content for each other? It becomes insular. That's a problem. And my worry is what I see happening in New York State, what I see happening in New York City, is so many people getting stuck in only one chance, a retail job, a content creator job, or maybe even just some type of delivery job. Again, nothing wrong with people working retail. You make a lot of money making retail, particularly if you can become a manager, run stores. No worries. Good job. But when everybody wants to be it, bad job. Delivery job, good job. I know many people make a living delivery. But if everybody wants to be it, becomes a bad job. Any job that everybody is trying to become is not going to be a good job. That part is going to be challenging. And I'm trying to think to myself, how do we fix this issue? How do we make things better? And the problem is, I have a state which is saying, if you don't get a regular job as they deem regular job, we're going to punish you. That's it. California has already gone there. The idea of becoming a contractor as you see fit, gone. You want to become an entrepreneur? Oh, let the punishment begin. So what they're doing is what they always seem to do. Create an aristocracy. I'm not exaggerating. If you want to be an entrepreneur in New York State now, it's possible. But oh my God, is it hard? If the powers that be don't say it's okay, if the big finance companies don't decide to back you, if government doesn't say you're okay, if you don't have friends in Albany or friends on Wall Street, you don't get to go there. You don't get to do what you want to do unless you have friends in the right places. This is where we're going. And I look back at my own childhood, and my parents have friends nowhere. Nowhere. They did not have friends every place at all. They were able to move forward, not because they were super smart, not because they were super talented. They were talented and smart, but like anybody else, they weren't super. But what they were is super hungry. And that's all that mattered. If you were super hungry for success, it was there. Go. We saw that in the 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s. It started to go away in the 90s. Now it's just about gone. Because the second you start doing well, that's when the punishment begins. How dare you? And here's the part that I'm most scared about. And people always tell me, well, Larry, just to my libertarian friends, just get rid of everything, let people go, blah, blah, blah. I hear that. But my worry is, have we lost the institutional knowledge, the institutional culture, right? The institutional culture, the community culture, to be able to emotionally, socially support a bunch of people in a broken or weaker community to grow themselves? Or will we just sit there and wait for government to come? If you look at New York City now, there's literally hundreds of thousands of people still just waiting for government to come. Now, I know some of you might say, well, Larry, I don't like this cannabis stuff. I get it. I personally don't care. You know I don't. I'm libertarian. Do what you want to do. But even cannabis in New York, they're fighting the government. We're going to have our stores anywhere. And they're fighting them too. They're fighting everything and pushing people into the black market, which now we punish entrepreneurs. This is driving me crazy. Am I wrong? You can tell me. 585-346-3000. Shortwave Radio, WYSL, Rochester, New York. Back with your calls and your chat. I see you after the break.
Introducing a sobering and unavoidable truth. The latest advancements in artificial intelligence have made cyber attacks easier than ever before. Cyber criminals are relentlessly targeting your business right now, seeking the tiniest opening in your defenses to drain your accounts and steal sensitive data. Your finances and your customers' trust are on the line. Call the experts at Simple Tech Innovations now at 585-999-TECH to secure your business today. Don't wait until it's too late. Make the call today. 585-999-TECH.
To live the quality of life we deserve in truth and freedom, informed by our Constitution, our laws, and traditions, we need to pick the best leaders possible. Recent experience certainly illustrates that. Free and accurate elections are essential if we're going to restore our society and safeguard our rights. New York Citizens Audit is a volunteer, nonpartisan group which has been lobbying for open source audits of the State Board of Elections and reform of the electoral process statewide. Did you know Citizens Audit has uncovered over 1 million felony violations of election law? That in 2020, there were 625,000 more voter registrations than existing voting age citizens in just six New York counties? That there were 338,000 more votes cast than voters who voted? These are just a few shocking examples of the urgent need for reform. You can help. Visit auditny.com and learn the facts, how to volunteer, and make a difference in your community. Again, volunteer, donate, or spread the word. Start at auditny.com. That's auditny.com.
Sharpway Radio on the WYSL stations.
It is Larry Sharp here on Sharpway Radio, WYSL, Rochester, New York, 585-346-3000. Talking about people trying to get out of their negative situations financially, emotionally, socially, and how the government forces them into the black market, forces them into lying, scamming, whatever the case may be. I argued years ago that the war on drugs was a war on entrepreneurship, right? Now, maybe that's a push for some of you, but you get the idea. It's people trying to move ahead in a certain way. And the black market is growing everywhere. That's the problem. Right? So when I ask the question, how can New Yorkers move forward? How can they make a living? Patty says, be a drug dealer? Be a bank robber? Be a criminal of some sort? Well, here's the point that I want to bring up. Those two that you brought up, the drug dealer and bank robber, I would argue one is better than the other, right? And some of you may think I'm crazy. You know which one I'm going to say? The drug dealer. Why is drug dealer better? Because the drug dealer is doing something consensual. The person is purchasing. That's better. And the drug dealer wouldn't be violent, well, wouldn't be as violent, if he could do it outside the black market. How do I know that? You see it with the cannabis stores in New York City. There's no violence there. People are buying and selling their cannabis. The only violent people are the cops because they keep cracking down on them instead of leaving them alone. If the cops would leave the cannabis stores alone, they would be literally safe, regular drug dealers. They would be. Sounds crazy, I know. But the bank robber part, you got to probably pull out a weapon. Some people are going to get hurt. Not my issue. My point is laws and jails should be for people that we're afraid of, not for people we don't like. They should be for people who will harm you, not for people who will do something you don't like. There's two separate issues there. And again, I'm the squarest guy in the world. Well, I'm exaggerating. The only drug I use is caffeine. That's it. I drink coffee. That's it. That's my drug of choice. I don't even drink. I don't smoke. Nothing. But who am I to judge you and say you can't? You can't smoke. You can't drink. Who am I to do that? You do that to yourself. If you think it's wrong, it's wrong. If you don't, who cares? So, any case. Thank you for that, Patty. I appreciate that. So, yes. Gene said, I asked for my break at the poll to be at 1 so I could listen to you. Oh, Gene, thank you. That is so nice. I appreciate that. Anthony says, apparently gunsmithing is now illegal as a hobby in New York. The New York government says 2A doesn't exist there. For those of you who don't know the story, Anthony, thank you for that. You are correct. Another perfect example of this. You hit this perfectly. All right. Number one, there's a guy named Dexter Taylor here in Brooklyn, New York City, in Brooklyn. I did a whole show on it. If you care, you can head to my YouTube page, Larry Shope YouTube page, and look for Dexter Taylor. He was convicted of, I'm not sure what. Literally, the guy legally, I want to be clear, legally purchased firearm pieces and assembled them in his home as a hobby. He sold them to nobody. He offered them to nobody. The ammunition he had was non-existent. No ammunition. He was it was a hobby. He was going to become a gunsmith. He was considering this becoming a profession for him. So he was taking his time to figure this out, to say, hey, this might be a profession for me. I might want to become a gunsmith. Again, bought everything on a credit card, legally, nothing illegal. But because our queen, Queen Kathy, first of her name, destroyer of the Bill of Rights, she said, oh no, we can arrest him and put him in jail. Why? Because of the new ghost gun, which made illegal guns illegaler and added more illegal stuff and made everything illegal. So now just having things makes you a violent criminal. And he was convicted. And when he was convicted, some of you are going to go nuts when I say this, the judge literally said that the Second Amendment doesn't exist in this courtroom. She said, you can't use it here. It doesn't apply. He was charged with having guns. And she said to the jury, the Second Amendment doesn't apply. I have told you all more than once, the Second Amendment in New York State is the second suggestion. It has been destroyed in New York State. Perfect example of this. You might say, wait a minute, lad. Guy had guns. He's going to sell them, right? No evidence of that at all. They didn't even charge him with that. He wasn't even trying to. He was trying to learn a trade on his own because he's brilliant. He was learning a trade on his own so he could go off and become a gunsmith. He was trying to make a living. By the way, his criminal record, clean. And they came in, kicked in his door with a SWAT team. I'm not joking. Kicked in his door with a SWAT team. Why? You could have arrested him on the street and then went in. Nope, you had to use a SWAT team. Because guns. Oh my God. Thank you for that, Anthony. This part, perfect connection. The guy's just trying on his own to figure out if he wants to become a gunsmith with his life. Now you might go, Larry, I don't want to be a gunsmith. It's not you, it's him. He thought that was a good idea. Let a brother get himself out of Brooklyn the way he wants to get himself out of Brooklyn. Why do you care? Not hurt anybody. Wasn't even selling them. And now he's convicted, and the odds are he will spend at least 5 years in jail. I'm sorry, in prison. Yes. By the way, he's in his 50s. Yeah. That is how bad it is. I am upset by that. Thank you for bringing this up. It does drive me crazy. Those whole pieces completely drive me crazy. Joe says, Larry's parents made him a libertarian. Home alone and child labor for the win. Maybe, I don't know. Maybe it's true. I'm just saying it is a big problem. And for some reason, it wasn't seen as that bad back then. Somehow I became okay. I know a lot of people my age who were latch kid keys or had babysitters they'd go to on their own or walked home from school by themselves. Remember those things? Joe goes on to say, I've delivered food for 17 years. I know lots of people who've taken that on as a career. Good for you. Making money. Some people use it as a side hustle. Some people use it to pay the bills. Again, why do I care? Not my issue. If it works for you, good. My worry though, Joe, and you know this too, once the state begins to flood an industry, that industry is going to suffer. Right? The state is going to flood that industry. And here's the worst part. The state will make it so it's virtually impossible for you to do anything except that. Then it'll push you into that. And then when that becomes a flooded industry to where they don't have to pay much because everybody wants to do it, the government will not regulate it, making it worse again. And the cycle continues. Government controls so many parts of our life. And I would ask you, if you've been on this planet for more than 30, 40 years, do you believe that all the government control that's happened in the last, say, 20 years, we'll just use 20 years, has it made our lives actually better? You might find a couple of things you might agree with. Oh, that's good, that's good. What about overall? I would argue no. Have you seen more of an entrepreneurial spirit or less? A whole lot less. And I'll go one step further. Even new people coming in, the migrant crisis coming in, migrants coming in right now, even them, a lot of them are coming. Well, if you go, I'll go back 20 years on that too. Most of the migrants, when they came to America, were not coming here to get debit cards for food. That wasn't a thing. They were coming here because they wanted to work. Now, you might have been mad at them for that. You don't like illegal immigration. I get it. Not mad at you for that. I get it. You have a right to feel what you feel. But you would still agree, whether you liked it or not, that they came here because they wanted to work, not because they wanted to get a debit card for food or a hotel stays for 60 days. That's not why they came here. I'm not sure that's true now. I feel like many of them are coming here because, hey, I can hang out for a couple months, figure some stuff out. Way different. And that's our fault, not theirs. That's our fault, not theirs. We should be saying, if you're going to come here, you got to work. And if you're an American and you want to work, it should be easy to work. If you want to start a business, it should be easy to start a business. You should stop pushing people into the black market. All right. You tell me if I'm right. Tell me if I'm wrong. 585-346-3000. Larry Sharp, WYSL, Rochester, New York, Sharpway Radio. Back with your calls and more of your chat. I do see you after the break. Thank you.
Sharp Way Radio on the WYSL stations.
Oh, yes, it is Larry Sharp here on Sharp Way Radio, WYSL, Rochester, New York. 585-346-3000 is the number to call. Talking about opportunities in New York, how people can move ahead, and what the government's doing or not doing to make that harder or easier. Grab a couple calls if I could. I'm going to start, if I could, with Keith. Keith, how are you, sir?
Yeah, you said it correctly. There is another caller behind me. So for what I'm about to say, I'll give credit where it's due. Earlier this year, the good enough conservative commentator, Mr. Bill O'Reilly, was asking people, what is a sure sign that a country is probably, to say it, in collapse? And the answers that anyone might think of are not the easy ones that would come right up front. And Mr. O'Reilly gave the answer, and it's correct. It's when you start to notice, really notice, any country's legal and justice system really in decline. And I think for you, Mr. Sharp, all of the topics you bring up, even though today's may not have to do with exactly that, the overall legal and hoped-for justice system, I think if everyone in your audience were to pick up on your narrative, Mr. O'Reilly is definitely correct. In closing, our country is in serious decline legally, whether it's law warfare, like they're waging against Trump, whatever you think of him, et cetera. But to bring it full circle, when you have the justice system collapsing and everything you've been talking about today, sir, I think if you'll really look at it in a meaningful and rational way, everything you stated today, every topic, touches on the legal system, and we are in serious decline. And that right there answers your overall question, why we can't get ahead today with every regulation from government and the legal system being turned against the American people. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you, Keith. I agree. And let me touch a couple of those pieces. I think you're right. And I will focus on a couple of things. This, I think, is the overall issue. And this is going to sound conservative of me. So some conservatives are going to like what I'm saying. But I believe it. We have ignored for many years the Constitution and Bill of Rights. For many years. And what I mean by that is no one is using that except sometimes Supreme Court. That's it. I mean, there's no other institution doing it. This is to Keith's point. The legislators make laws. The brain dead empty suits that we have in the assembly or in our Congress, when they make laws, they don't care about the Constitution at all. They don't even know. They're not writing the laws. They're not reading them. Lobbyists write the laws. And then, how much money do I get? Yes. They pass the laws. The governor goes, okay, what does my team think or how can I make my grift? And then they sign the law. So now it's a terrible law. Okay, so what's supposed to happen, and this is my biggest beef, Keith, with our system, is our judges. Our judges have failed us, horribly failed us. Anthony brought up the issue. In New York State, literally judges will tell you, I've been on juries before, I've been a consultant for defense attorneys. Judges in New York State literally say, you may not use jury nullification. For those who know what that means is, if I think a law is unfair or unjust, I am legally allowed to vote not guilty because it's not a real law, right? Judges tell you in New York State, you may not do that. Blatantly against the Constitution. Don't care. Judges will see a terrible law and absolutely just go, what can I do? It's the law. This is why I was wrong on bail reform. I thought bail reform would work out. And again, I'm on record saying it. I'm admitting my error. I thought it would work out because I didn't think judges would be that bad. I thought back in 2019, 2020, when this happened, judges would see how bad this is, would go, no, and there would be rulings that would fix this law. That's what I thought. Silly me, Keith. I was completely wrong. The judges went, no, that's fine. We'll let horrible people back out in the streets. What? Because it's the law. So I agree with you completely, but I will put extra push on judges because their job is to check the executive and the legislature, and they don't. Let me grab one more call if I could. This is Mike. Mike, how are you, sir?
Larry, hey, pretty good. I'm glad you mentioned the gentleman in New York City, Brooklyn, Bronx, that was arrested and convicted of gunsmithing. With the latest law that passed last year, that DCIA, almost 200 smaller firearms businesses have gone out of business due to the heavy regulations. Well, these are the guys, the small guys, the hobbyists who had their licenses, who did it the right way, got their federal license, their state licenses, but were driven out of business by the regulation. Okay,
so it happens all the time.
So I've known quite a few people, very, very, very close, I can put it that way, who had license for 30 plus years, whose hobby was firearm repairs, whose the new regulations made it so prohibited, okay, and so vague that if you one misstep could put you in jail for years.
Yes, and this put you in jail for years. For people who don't know this, if your crime is a, quote, gun crime, you are by default a violent felon in New York State.
You don't know nothing after that.
Absolutely.
No voting.
Yes.
Yes, so I'm glad you brought that up. And people need to realize this, you know, as you drive around, you know, Western New York here, and all the little mom-pop gun shops and everybody that you knew who had a license. And this has been going on since the Clinton administration. They start getting rid of the little guys and little licenses. And the Queen just happened to nail us just right on this last one. Unfortunately, you know, we got a great Second Amendment team here. There's actually a Second Amendment show that plays on this station that are great guys with some great lawyers suing. But we're not winning in our courts here, unfortunately.
Well, that's the point that I want to bring up, because the judges in New York State, and I'm not trying to be a jerk, I'm really insulting them. Like, this is a true story. They do not respect the Constitution in this state at all. It's not a thing. That's why all of our stuff goes to the Supreme Court before it gets dropped. Because Supreme Court actually does decide, oh, let's look at this Constitution. New York judges don't. That's not a thing. They don't care.
Even with the Supreme Court, we won the Supreme Court case, the Bruin case. We won.
Yes.
And we got screwed even harder. So
No, what happened was, this is what I'm talking about when I talk about New York State. The Supreme Court said, your gun laws are unconstitutional. And our queen said, oh, is that right? Here's 10 more. And you know, Mike, I'm not joking. She literally made 10 more gun laws after that.
I know.
Yes.
It's insane. I can recite every one and the penalties.
Yeah,
there
we go. Yes. That's what's so crazy about it. Mike, you are absolutely correct. And most of them don't see that, right? Particularly if you live in a city. If you live in a city, you don't think of local gunsmiths. It's not because it doesn't exist in cities. But once you get out of a big city, it's a thing. I agree. I've seen it many times, right? I've traveled across New York State. So I actually know. I have seen small mom and pops all over the place. There's a little sign out front. Says, need some repair? Come on in. That kind of thing, right? Of course. They got a license. They can do it. And what's wrong with that side hustle? What's wrong with that? Someone deemed it evil.
Well, the city of Rochester drove us out with a one mayor. People who used to be able to do it in the city limits drove us out with one vote. Said, nope, no more firearms.
Well, here's the best part, Mike,
in the city limits.
Is once they did that, here's the best part. Once they did that, then Rochester became completely safe, and there was no violence whatsoever in Rochester after that, right?
Completely safe.
Exactly, yes. No, there's no violence in Rochester at all now because of that law.
Nope. Oh, no, it's the safest place in the whole country.
Absolutely,
all right.
100%.
Larry, thanks a lot.
Thanks, Mike. I appreciate it. Well, this goes back to what I keep saying. The more we have a war on entrepreneurship, the more people get angry, the more people fight, the more people want to become violent. Now you might go, wait a minute, Larry. Are you going to link this to violence? I am. I am. For two reasons. Number one, if you're able to do your business in the regular market where you can have cops and courts, well, several things happen. Number one, you don't need violence. You have cops and courts. You don't need street justice. But not just that. Cops don't want to be busting people who aren't bad guys. Cops want to go after bad guys. Well, if you stop making cops go after like some guy who's trying to just fix guns in his house, not hurt anybody, doing it, you know, back and forth, people paying money, fixing his gun, whatever. A cop doesn't want to break that guy's, you know, door down. He'd rather go after a bad guy. So less cop interactions with non-bad guys and more cop interactions with bad guys. There we go. Kind of everybody's happy but the bad guys with that plan. Right now, our current plan, the only people happy are the bad guys. Cops aren't happy and the regular person isn't happy. So absolutely, I want to focus on that. But a second piece on top of that, when people can't express themselves, when they can't be heard, they resort to violence. I don't want violence. I know some people don't care. I do. I don't want violence. I want more people speaking about what they feel and making this happen. That's what I would like. But there was something else I want to bring up. I'm going to go back to what Keith said. I wanted to grab Mike, but now I'm going to go back to what Keith said. Keith had a very interesting question. How do you know your culture is falling? Well, there was someone else who talked about the Roman Empire, and he brought up another idea. He said one of the signs you could tell that Rome was falling is because people forgot what it meant to be Roman. To be Roman, what was that? Now, Romans were different in citizenship than we are. We're much more open with our citizenship. I'm not against that. But the Romans were much harsher on their citizenship. Who's a citizen, who's not, what citizenship meant, what it meant to be Roman, all those things. They might go, Larry, are you talking like a cultural issue, like you got to be Christian or you got to be Jewish or whatever? No. What it meant to be American, I think it's supposed to still be the same, was to believe in everyone's basic freedoms and basic liberty and basic ability to try to move forward. It was life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Everyone deserved life, everyone deserved freedom, and everyone deserved the ability to pursue happiness. Not happiness. Americans are not guaranteed happiness. We are guaranteed the pursuit of happiness. That's what it has meant to be an American. I'm not sure that's true anymore. So I say Keith is correct, but I'm going to do an and. On top of that, have we forgotten what it's about to be an American? If we have, we're in trouble. 585-346-3000 is the number. YSL, Rochester, New York, Sharpway Radio. Back with your calls and your chat after the break.
Introducing a sobering and unavoidable truth. The latest advancements in artificial intelligence have made cyber attacks easier than ever before. Cyber criminals are relentlessly targeting your business right now, seeking the tiniest opening in your defenses to drain your accounts and steal sensitive data. Your finances and your customers' trust are on the line. Call the experts at Simple Tech Innovations now at 585-999-TECH to secure your business today. Don't wait until it's too late. Make the call today. 585-999-TECH.
While many local collision and repair shops have been gobbled up by national chains with their impersonal touch, Flower City Collision remains locally owned and operated. The shop was started by a local veteran who taught his son Zach the basics in customer service and providing customers value. Flower City doesn't work with a specific insurance company. They want to be your advocate. If you need a repair, reach out to Zach at Flower City Collision in Henrietta. He will work with your national insurance company on your local behalf to ensure you get the repair you need done right.
Avon Gun and Hunting Supply, a locally owned and operated gun shop here for your hunting needs. With changes in New York State laws, they'll work with you to fulfill your needs. Open from 10 a.m. Tuesday through Saturday, Avon Gun, East Main Street, next to Tompkins Community Bank.
Livingston County Pizza Company and Gluten-Free Bakery has a great deal on Tuesdays. A large four-topping pizza for $18, regular or gluten-free. Call 226-9575. Open Tuesday through Sunday. Livingston County Pizza Company and Gluten-Free Free Bakery in Avon.
Sharpway Radio on the WYSL stations.
Oh, yes, it is Larry Sharp, WYSL, Rochester, New York. Sharpway Radio, so glad you give me a small chunk of your afternoon. We have been talking about how people are being pushed into the black market or pushed into helplessness by governments that's supposed to be helping us? Well, it doesn't look like it at all. Absolutely. I want to grab a couple comments from Mike Voss, who's watching. He says, across the country, jury nullification is info denied to juries. That is correct. You have a right as a juror to say, you know what? No, not guilty. The power of the juror is more powerful than the judge. And by the way, you cannot be punished for that. I'm not making that up. If you ignore the judge's rules and say, I'm going to vote not guilty because it's not a crime. Now, to be clear, I'm not saying you should let guilty people go. I'll give you an example of how what I would do. This is my view. Some of you would not agree with this. Some guy robs somebody with a gun and steals their cannabis. And he gets charged with multiple crimes for the gun, crimes for the robbing, and crimes for the cannabis. In my view, the cannabis is not a crime. In my view, gun's not a crime. Robbing someone's a crime. I would not guilty for the cannabis crime, not guilty for the gun crime, guilty for theft. Assuming he did it, obviously. Assuming they proved it, right? Assuming that's true. Yeah. Put him in jail for stealing. Stealing's against the law. Robbing people's against the law. Having a gun should not be a crime. I disagree with it. Having cannabis should not be a crime. Robbing people is. So why is he going to jail for 30 years when he probably should go for two or whatever the case may be? So I do think that's important. Mike goes on to say, progressive judges put in place by progressive officials and Hochul follows Biden in actively violating the law, SCOTUS, for negative impact, training on the public until overturned, it's Pavlovian. I am shocked, Michael, how bad some of these judges have acted. I've said it, but I've learned my lesson. I will never expect that again. Let me grab one more call if I could. This is Roger. Roger, how are you, sir?
All right. So the only way this is going to change, the first thing you talked about was entrepreneurism at the beginning. Yep. And stuff like that. Look, until we have the opportunity to and yes, with government help, with a lending program or something like that, to build mm-hmm. and start our own worker-owned cooperative companies and supply mm-hmm. chains and all of that, okay, this will continue. As long as we do not have the ability to write our own laws and amendments and put them into the law and enforce them, this will continue. Okay.
Agreed.
And we have to transition to that. Now, what you were talking about that whole thing, I used to be a Uber driver and a Lyft driver, yep. whatever the case is. That is that whole thing about the independent contracting thing, that is yep. really half and half. Because when I was driving for Uber, we were trying to get labor law protections. Okay. Mm-hmm. So it's not all like the politicians doing it. A lot of the people who are in that industry, who are independent contractors, have no protection under labor law. And that's the way for a lot of these companies like Uber and Lyft, the gig economy, to take advantage of their workers, saying, yeah, you're a partner, but then we're going to treat you like an employee. So if you do something that we don't like, boom, you're canceled. You know what I'm saying? You're off the platform.
No, I'm not against any of those. But what I would mm-hmm. like in my perfect world, two things I want to bring up, Roger. One, you know I agree with you. I think the idea of supporting co-ops and workers' ownership, I'm about ownership, period. I want people to own their own jobs. I want people to own their own companies. I think worker co-ops are a wonderful idea. I'm in. No argument for me whatsoever. When it comes to the contract piece, the contractors, what I would like to have in my perfect world, which this is what I think we should be having, is unions for contractors. And then the unions can fight. That, to me, is a better way of doing it than having government regulate, because government just destroys. If we were able to support unionized drivers, well, they can argue for any way they want, right? They look, we have the vehicles, we have the cars, we have the skill set. Join our union, and we'll make sure we get treated effectively. I think unionization was the answer for that. Do you think I'm wrong?
I go beyond unions and go toward worker cooperatives, because unions are great, but they only give you leverage in the workplace. You have no ownership. When you're a worker cooperative, you have full power.
Agreed. If we would support more of that, and I go one step further, if we were to support localism even in that.
Of course. Yes, of course.
I think we're on the same page.
Politics is local, right?
Yes. Well, hold on. Politics should be local, but the politicians try to always make it national so you ignore local.
Yes, because it's a lazy way of getting you to vote for their party, because they attach you, you know, which is why I want to abolish political parties, to make the politician unconnected with what some clown did at the state or federal level. Oh, you got to answer to that now. That's your party. It's like, oh, I really got to answer for that. Okay, let me do this bad faith defense of these clowns that are in my party. Whereas you have no parties. Oh, that's him. Hold him accountable. I ain't got nothing to do with that.
That's correct. I agree. Roger, thank you so much, my friend. I appreciate it.
All right.
Look, I am always about ownership. Always about ownership. The more people, and again, I want to be clear on this. You shouldn't have to own things if you don't want to. Some people get upset and go, well, Larry, what if I don't want to own stuff? What if I just want to have a job? Wonderful, right? Maybe you don't know what you're doing right now. You're restarting your life for some reason. You had a divorce, or you had a problem, or you're just young and you're restarting your life. No worries. Own what you think you want to own, but you should have the option to own to the best of your ability. You should have the option to work for a company that's a co-op if you want to, or one that's a regular standard employee-employer relationship. I do not think the whole world should be co-ops. I think we should treat co-ops the same as any other business. We should encourage them, encourage ownership. And people who want it can do it. People who don't, don't. Sam brings up, if workers in my company try to steal my company from me, I would not be pleased. Yes, they shouldn't steal it. Option, Sam. Options. Always choice, always free. I am so happy you guys gave me a chunk of your afternoon. I will see you all very soon.